What is up, podcast? Thank you again for tuning in. I started the Rocked Iron MMA podcast to bring voices on fight talk and life motivation from all around the world straight to the podcast. I hope you enjoy this listen. Let's go! What is going on, podcast? We are bringing you a UFC 249 review and reaction. I've had to bring back Imran on this podcast. Again, it's only right. What is going on, Imran?
Had to bring back the finest. Here I am. Thank you for having me again. It's an honor.
All right, guys. So we're going to go flying in. We're going to start straight away with talking about the UFC and Dana White still putting on a show. With everything that is going on, the world amongst a global pandemic, Dana White was adamant in still putting on a show. The show was in Jacksonville, Florida. The kind of measures and the things that the UFC had to overcome to get this show on was incredible. At one point, it was canceled, scheduled for April 18th. As you all know, Khabib was supposed to fight Tony Ferguson, but unfortunately, he couldn't make it to the US, has to stay in Russia. And then Justin Gaethje came in to put on an awesome show, which we'll have a reaction on. Imran, tell me, you know, you as a UFC fan as well, and on your feelings towards what the UFC and Dana White did.
I guess that's what the UFC is all about, isn't it? But this, as in like the April fight card was, like the main event alone, right, was going to be incredible. The fact that it got cancelled and then Dana created this whole new event and with one of the most stacked fight cards I've ever seen.
Like, it was crazy, bro.
But in such a long time, I've not seen such a stacked fight card. I'm trying to like remember the last one I can think about. But in terms of like the roster and the athletes that they had on this, like we had Ngannou, we had, you know, Jeremy Stephens, we had Cejudo, we had Ferguson, to have him and Showtime Pettis on a prelims, right? That it goes to show how stacked this card was. Like Dana came through big money. Dana, he did well, man. Like he knew, he gave us the gift during this, you know, Corona season. So
it was a gift, man. We need his sport. I just want let me talk about, you know, a few things what the UFC had to do, you know, in terms of trying to get this show on. So, for example, well, it was in Jacksonville, Florida, which is crazy to me because apparently they've got one of the highest rates of infections in the US. So that's crazy to me, first of all. Anyway, so normally there'd be like, this is how meticulous they were. So normally there'd be like one truck going to the arena with all the stuff in, things like that. One going to the hotel and one going somewhere else. But this time they had to have two trucks. There was multiple setups for equipment. Like, for example, there's another example. There's normally four saunas, but because everyone had to stay individually, the UFC had to import in 26 different saunas. And they were even restricting how many people were traveling with the athletes. So to get this show on, like, I want to see what kind of numbers they did, because I didn't see any kind of numbers in terms of how much they made. To put it simply, Dana didn't have to do this. Like, and he didn't have to do this, but the fact that he did... I feel like there are a lot of fans who don't normally watch mixed martial arts or the UFC who tuned in because, first of all, nothing else to watch. And I feel like they gained a lot more fans through that as well.
100%. I think a lot of sports fans have been lacking any sort of live action. Like if you're watching highlights or whatever, or classic replays, it's not the same. And for Dana, it was very strategic and a very smart play. Who, like, in terms of budget, obviously, we don't know if it's made any money. Obviously, it was streamed on ESPN Plus. While here in the UK, we had it on BT Sports. It was on paid-for services. So, he's made a bit of money, and there was, like, constant ads throughout the whole fight, right?
But, yeah. I mean, you know, understandable, right?
Understandable. Like, it's like every 2 minutes, there was an ad played. about
liquor. He had to get that money. He had to make up for the ticket sales.
100%. And not like that was one aspect, and the whole other aspect is it's like you said, a lot of people are cooped up at home, locked up. you know, and to put on a live event and with such a stacked card that will get people talking, you know, it's only good for business, and it's got people, well, I assume it's got a lot of people turning their eyes towards the UFC now.
100%. Just to put it simply, Dana White, if you're going to listen to this podcast, we just want to say thank you. imagine that. But just a thank you to him and the UFC. I'm sure, you know, the fans listen to this, and the fans, MMA fans all over the world, are just grateful for that. Going straight in, going to start with Anthony Pettis versus Donald Cerrone. This fight was crazy. Throughout the prelim cards, there were some crazy fights, but I want to focus particularly on this one. When they first met, Anthony had a first round KO versus Donald Cerrone. That was all the way back in 2013, and he's done the double over, but very close. The judges had this on 29 to 28, all three judges scoring that. These two were going at it, man. It was an incredible fight to watch. It was so close. For me personally, it could have gone either way. I personally think Donald did a little bit more to win that fight, but the judges gave it that way. What did you think about the fight, Imran?
I think, I was leaning towards Donald on certain rounds because he was getting a couple of takedowns.
He had that beautiful leg kick as well, which was one of the best shots of the match.
Yeah, it's very close. Like, even you had Pettis saying, like, he was saying, even like when the fight got called and they announced the winner, even Pettis was shocked, and he just, even in his post fight interview, he goes, I still don't know who won the fight because it's so close to court. And it literally was, like, to the naked eye watching that, I didn't know who to give it to. I guess the fact that they gave it to Pettis, I'm calm with that decision. I'm not gonna cause an uproar about it. It was too.
Yeah, hard. It's such an exciting fight to watch. I mean, the last few fights, it hasn't gone his way, but you know, every time you watch him fight, you know you're gonna get a fight. I mean, there was a point where he went up, he fainted a knee to the head, he jumped up, and then he just literally just done a strike with his hand with a feint to the knee. I mean, things that he does just like that is what makes him such an exciting fighter to watch. He's a high-level mixed martial artist. I mean, Anthony Pettis. You're just trying to make me say the name, isn't it?
Anthony Pettis, man. Showtime Pettis.
Whatever, man.
But Cerrone caught him with his signature kick to the head, right? And I thought, Pettis at that shot, man, it was straight, you know, with his shin to the jaw. And, history has shown that every time Cerrone gets one of those kicks, like, that's a lethal kick, man. It's a straight knockout most times. Pettis ate the kick. He came back swinging, man. It was a good slugfest. Everyone's saying, it's too close to call, man. But great fight all around. And also, good redemption arc for Cerrone. Like, his last fight, McGregor.
He got dominated. Like, he wasn't close.
Took him out like the trash, bro. And then,
it was
embarrassing. It was embarrassing, man. Come on, let's face it.
Thing is, afterwards, he said he didn't even want to be in that fight.
Yeah, man. Like,
on his Instagram, I was quite confused with that. You know, he realized before the fight I mean, the thing is, the day before the fight, he knew that he didn't want to even be in there. Which is crazy to me.
Say why?
He just said it was one of those feelings. No, he didn't really give a reason as to why, whether it was, I don't know, he had an argument with his missus or, you know, something happened. Like, he literally just said, I didn't want to be in that, in the octagon, and it was just one of those days, which is crazy to me, but, you know, that's how he felt.
That's the last kind of mentality you want before a big fight.
100%. I mean, that's the biggest fight you can have right now. In that division, anyway.
That was a fact. Like, McGregor's looked after you. Like, McGregor's sorted out the rest of your life just by fighting you, bro.
And if he beat McGregor, I mean, the kind of doors it would have opened for him, it would have been crazy. But he didn't want to turn up, apparently. But I mean, that fight, created an onslaught of amazing fights and amazing knockouts. And moving on to Calvin Gattar versus Jeremy Stephens. I mean, this was a featherweight contention bout. This again was a, you know, a crazy fight. In the, I think it was the second round, there was a, I mean, the knockout, the out. I mean, I watched this. I generally thought it was a punch, and once I watched the replay, I realized it was an elbow. It was that quick that you had to literally watch it again just to. How did he do that? What did you think of the knockout? Because I thought, oh, it's one of the best knockouts I've seen in a while, to be honest.
Amazing. He had straight elbow, and then as he got him to the ground, he hit him with a left elbow across the forehead, and then you see a massive gash across Steven's head. Oh my gosh, like, it was
crazy, bro.
The fight was amazing. I remember watching the fight, because I was a bit behind on the live stream, and I was watching, I was like, incredible. And you know what's really bad? The only way I know Jeremy Stephens is, you know, the press conference where he sort of spoke up.
Yeah. I think the majority, I mean, casuals who have come into UFC over the past few years because of McGregor, they would have known Jeremy Stephens from that moment. You know, that's that's one of the iconic McGregor moments. When you think of McGregor, you remember that. And I think he in that statement alone, although he's an amazing fighter, I mean, people who watch UFC and watch his fights know he's an amazing fighter. Even in that fight he lost, he was still doing very well up until that moment. That just put down some of his credibility just from that statement alone. He just, he just left it in there. But for me, the vital moment in the fight was Qatar was still pounding away at Stephens. And in the second round, I think they changed their stances and they were just going at each other. And at that moment, bang, that left elbow came in. And I mean, that was all she wrote. That was a crazy fight. But in terms of knockouts, it didn't stop there, bro. We're going to Ngannou, but I can't say his name, man. Jairzinho, I can't say his name. His first name is Jairzinho, Jairzinho. I tried to figure out how many seconds that was. I think it was around about 19 seconds that fight lasted. I knew before the fight even started that it was a don't blink kind of fight. I think one of our boys, Munya, he was watching the fight as well. He's been on one of the podcasts. We talked about boxing. He literally said, he came back and he said, oh, damn, Mr. Knockout. He went to the toilet. How are you going to be going to the toilet when Ngannou is about to fight? This fight was never going to last the full rounds. It was never going to do. What did you think? What did you think of the fight?
So what more can I say to what you said is literally every time you know Ngannou, like, apart from that episode he had with, you know, Derek Lewis, that fight, the probably the worst fight I've seen in my time watching UFC.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I lost from dead on. I just didn't rate Ngannou as much. Then he had his comeback streak, and then this is what
Ngannou. Yeah, he's on a streak, man. He's on a streak.
See, this is what it's all about. Gets in the ring, don't mess it around. Knockout, move on. Do you get it?
And you know what? Yeah.
And the fact, you know, 20 seconds in, to do that to Rozenstruik as well was such a great... let's face it, he's a heavy
hitter. That's a statement, bro.
He's a big heavyweight. To do that to him in 20 seconds, he's amazing. But what I love about Ngannou is the decorum he shows straight afterwards. It's class, man. You can definitely see, like, he conducts himself very well, man. And, you know, hopefully...
And you love talking about decorum.
Decorum, like, decorum is such a big thing. Arif disagrees with me. We had this argument yesterday.
Look, right? This is a long conversation, maybe for another podcast.
Yeah, this is a whole different tangent. Yeah, decorum. I think decorum, like, is very important, especially in, you know, like, matches. Some of the fighters, who was it? Like, Cejudo and Cruz, we'll come into that in a bit, but you didn't see that bit of decorum right until, like, later on.
Definitely. Maybe this is definitely a topic for our Awoken Broke podcast coming soon. Put the plug in there.
Stay tuned.
All right. But yeah, I mean, just quickly putting on, soon as I mean, I think Ngannou on that fight knew before he even was going to that fight, like, he was literally going to just start swinging, man. I mean, there was no skill in what he did there. He's just swinging, and just the raw power of Ngannou just knocked Rozenstruik out. And Dan Rogiarsa was like, that's it, fight over. And that, I mean, that video, I mean, if you watch the replay of him just, Rozenstruik just laying down there, it's just scary, man. It'd be scary. Just passed out, bro. A grown man. Yeah, I mean, you don't see that kind of stuff out. You'll never see that kind of stuff. But you see it plain as day in the octagon consistently. And you know what? As bad as it sounds, that's one of the major reasons why we love the sport, right?
100%.
That's the crazy, bro.
You want to hit the canvas. You want to see blood splatter everywhere. But that's...
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. Maybe this is... innate feeling inside of us as humans to see violence.
Maybe, bro. And the thing is, that's why we know, and that's one of the reasons why we're so passionate. We know that this sport is just going to keep getting bigger and bigger, and it's just going to take over the world, man. Hopefully, anyway.
100%.
Now, moving on to Henry Cejudo versus Cruz. A lot of talking points, a massive talking point. But before we even talk about his retirement, I'm gonna let you start with this one, because your boy Cruz was in this fight.
This one hit home, bro. I don't know what it is about Cruz. I really like him as a fight analyst. I've heard so many people praise him for his.
He's a very nice guy. I could tell by the build up. Watching all the UFC embedded, he's a very nice guy.
Very nice guy. Even Joe Rogan, he's like an encyclopedia of mixed martial arts. He knows everything. He's very technically gifted. And, you know,
he dominated the bantamweight division for years.
He made the bantamweight. Is it bantamweight? No, it's not flight, is it?
Bantamweight.
He made the bantamweight division what it is. He held the title the longest, etc. Like, this guy, I don't know. I really like Cruz as a fighter and as a person. So the fact that he lost, but he couldn't, you know what? He couldn't have lost to a better man. I think that's the best way of putting it.
For me, going to fight, I knew Cruz was out for 3 years. His last fight was December 2016. And yes, you know, Cejudo was out. He had a major operation, but he wasn't out nowhere near as long. The way the fight played out was crazy. First, starting with Cejudo's credentials, this guy is a 2-weight champion and an Olympic gold medalist, right? In wrestling, the way the fight played out was leg kicks to slow down the footwork of Cruz. I mean, Cruz's footwork is crazy. Is what? Why? One of the great things about him, Cruz for the fight, understandably couldn't get his timing right. Soon began to find his range, and once that happened, they had the clash of heads. And I thought, well, this is never good for a fighter when blood's gushing down, getting into your eyes. So I thought, Cruz is getting his range back. This has happened to Cejudo. Maybe the fight could start turning a little bit. But then literally straight after that, my man goes running in with that knee, and that's it, starts hitting him. Now, this is the controversial part, which I think we both disagree on, and we did as soon as it happened because we were talking to each other during the fight. You're saying that the stoppage, I don't know if you've changed your stance on it, but you were saying that, the referee was rightly so. I'll let you speak on it. The referee rightly, stopped the fight. In my opinion, at first I did think that, but now I think, if you have a look, when the referee jumped in, Cruz was starting to get, he was about halfway up, I think, and he was about to get to his feet. And Cruz was basically saying, such a high stakes as this, give me a chance to show that I can fight back. And he's basically saying the referee didn't give him that. I mean, what is your take on it about 24 hours after the fight?
I agree with what you said. Now, I also changed my mind. It's true. Like, if I thought Cruz was, his legs were wobbling or whatever, I saw like, he was if you look at it from a technical standpoint, he was getting up, and he was guarding his head. I think it was too early to call from the ref. Like, I reckon Cruz would have got up, and it would have continued. I think the ref made a poor choice on that one. And even, you know, Cruz was saying he told the ref, don't call it till I'm passed out, basically. Like,
yeah.
Saying.
Yeah. Fighter's always going to say that. You have to feel sorry for him. I mean, it's not every day you get a title shot at a UFC title, right? He's been out for so long and he now gets his title shot and that happens. You, as a fighter, you're distraught, you're frustrated.
Yeah, it is heartbreaking. But then, if we look at the whole fight as a whole, Cejudo was winning the fight anyway. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, by a quite a big margin. But you know, in this game, all it takes is, you know, a leg kick to the jaw, you know, an uppercut. Like you never know what could happen. So either way, it's. But for me, the fight, I mean, I knew the fight was going to play out. I knew that Cejudo was gonna come away with a W. The craziest part was the fight was his speech after it when he said that he's going to retire, yeah. which is crazy. According to Dana White, is no surprise to him because he's been talking about it. Dana White says, you know what? If a fighter is talking about retirement, he should definitely retire. But I just feel like I want the Aldo fight. I wanted Cejudo versus Aldo. Yeah. That was going to be a huge fight. How can the big fights that he won, there's controversy over. So I just feel like, even though, look, he 2-weight world champion, but there was so much more that, okay, maybe not so much more, but there's other things that for me, he personally had left to accomplish.
he's not had much time in the UFC. But then when we look at his life as a whole, as soon as he said that, I've been doing this since I was 11. So
yeah,
maybe
pretty much all his life, right?
Yeah, all his life, all he's ever known is training, 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 be the best, be the best, be the best. And you know what? He came to the UFC, took out some of the greatest fighters, took out Mighty Mouse, right?
Mm.
You know, like Demetrius Johnson was easily the greatest flyweight in that division, right?
And he says it himself, yeah.
Exactly. Took out Mighty Mouse. You know, went up against Dillashaw, knocked him out. He got the double. Do you know what I mean? Like, ideally, everyone wants him to stay and get the fight with Aldo and see what else he can do.
Possibly, yeah. You know? See, we're speaking as fans, aren't we? Speaking as fans. So, yeah. You know, if we was him, then we'd probably do the same thing.
100%. When we look at it from a more like human standpoint, 100%. This guy, he's got a missus now. He wants to have kids. And, you know, in a dangerous game like this, man, you know, it's, you never know, like, you know, life can be taken at any point. Who knows the lasting
damage. And he was saying, you know, he's still healthy. If he goes away now, he can still call himself an Olympic gold medalist, 2-weight world, you know, champion. I mean,
exactly.
Fighters work all their lives to exactly. Just become, you know, just get close to the championship, let alone win it twice. So, 100%. You know. And if he has actually, go on.
This goes on the deeper topic of like, when is enough enough? Like, you know, athletes.
It's true, man. It's true.
Each other washed up, and then you had your great moments, and then you just carried on when you should have stopped. And you know what I'm saying? Like, it's a very wise move to think, you know what? I've accomplished what I need to accomplish, and I'm gonna leave now while I've dominated where I can dominate. And you know what? It'll go down in the Hall of Fame, man. 100%. Like, for what is achieved, man. 100%. If anything, it's a great call.
Yeah. 100%. You know what? Yeah. And if he has actually retired and he's not doing what Conor McGregor did, you know, shout out to Henry Cejudo, man. You incredible champion, one of the greatest of all time in mixed martial arts for sure, man.
100%.
Now going. Yeah, 100%, bro. Now finishing off with, you know, with Ferguson, Tony Ferguson versus Justin Gaethje. Thing is, you know what? When I saw this fight, after the fight, I didn't have much words to say about this fight. Let me just start off this discussion and reaction on this fight just by saying what Justin Gaethje said a month ago. Justin Gaethje said he likely had 18 to 19 minutes of pure hell. That was complete lies. This guy gave 23 minutes plus of absolute crazy, absolute madness. I've been watching fighting for a while now, and I don't think I've ever seen someone get beat up so badly and still not hit the deck. That's it, bro. This guy is a flipping zombie. Ferguson always, you know, tried to stick to his abnormal style, was trying to hit Gaethje from all different types of angles. Gaethje stayed on that more conventional, taking shots, landing shots to the head. For me personally, it's hard to think, you know, what could have gone wrong for, what could he have, Tony Ferguson, done? I guess he wasn't training for a striker. He was training for someone who was going to take him to the ground. And all of a sudden he had to switch up his camp and train for, you know, a very capable, high-level Justin Gaethje. I mean, what were your thoughts on the fight?
Very...
Where do you start, right?
Where do I start? Technically, two very amazing, you know, strikers. Gaethje, an absolute beast when it comes to the octagon. And he's relentless in attacking. Ferguson is the most oddest fighter, but somehow, you know, he...
You can't teach his style.
Yeah, you can't teach his style. It's definitely something like Ferguson alone, his old character, his old demeanor is something different. Like, you won't, it's something that can't be replicated. And it was another heartbreaking moment, man. Like, Ferguson, you can't hate the guy. You gotta love the guy. And you know,
he's just such a strange guy, man.
Such a strange guy, and he was like fighting, like he fought with so much heart. And Gaethje did what he did, man. He was very tactical, going for them leg shots, trying to slow Ferguson down. A lot of left hooks, man.
That left hook was the key weapon in that fight. That left hook was causing crazy damage.
100%. Gaethje knew that, and Ferguson was just eating them up, man. And
there was that point. I think it was round two. The uppercut. I think if there was at least another 20 seconds left in that round, I think Gaethje would have been in trouble.
Yeah, man. That was like that could have been the turning point for everything.
Yeah, we were saying, weren't we? We thought that was going to be the turning point. I thought, okay, this is it. It's going to turn around now. Mate, none of that happened. Gaethje just carried on the onslaught, man.
And like as a UFC fan, when you watch it, you know how unpredictable the sport is, and you're like, you're in the last round, and you're like, you know what, then Ferguson might just come back. He just might pull it back.
Because that's the kind of fighter he is.
Exactly. That's exactly, we've seen it, and the fact that it didn't happen, and Gaethje just continued his onslaught. Gaethje knew Ferguson has everyone says he has the best card, like one of the best cardio in terms of.
Yeah, I was about to say yeah. I mean, there's not many people in the world who have cardio at the level that Tony Ferguson does. I was seeing Gaethje blowing, and I thought Gaethje blowing after the second round. I thought that told me as well that this is it, but it wasn't.
It wasn't. Like Gaethje was very. You can see Gaethje didn't move too much. He stuck his ground really well, man. Threw them left hooks when he could, when Ferguson was a bit exposed. And that's what won him the game, man. I think by the fifth round, when he sat down, you just hear Gaethje laugh about it. And I was like, damn, like this boy knows he's got it in the bag now. Isn't it?
Yeah, and his coaches were telling him, look, you know, the last two times you got complacent, you were still, you know, doing well in the fight, but you got complacent. They're telling him, look, his coach basically said to him, look, stop smiling, stop getting happy, just keep focused. And all he had to do is see the fight out, and he did more than that. I mean, incredible fight, man. One of the best fights I've watched, not just in UFC, just all of fighting. The whole card was, you know... Again, as I said, Dana White did not have to put on the fights that he did, but he did, and you thank him for that. You know, just to finish off again, grateful to be able to watch such an amazing card. And Imran, again, I'm, you know, grateful for you coming on again. I'm sure the people listening love having you on. I do. So thank you again for that, bro.
No worries. guys. Appreciate it.
just a final thing, just to end this podcast. We are social distancing right now. We're not in the same, you know, same building as each other. We're doing this through Discord virtually. So if the feds get onto us, if anyone snitches, we're not doing this together right now.
Yeah, that's the official
story. All right. All right, cool. Peace out, guys. Thank you.